Hello, it's Scott Manley here. Last week, a relatively quiet document dropped from the FAA that caught a lot of people off guard. While everyone was still talking about the dramatic explosion during Blue Origin's recent test, well, flight, firing, there was an environmental assessment released for something called Starfall from SpaceX. It quietly appeared online, and for those that hadn't been paying close attention to all of SpaceX's smaller, more specialized projects, this one might have come as a surprise, but you know, make no mistake, Starfall could turn out to be an important piece of infrastructure in the emerging in-space economy and SpaceX's books. Yes, we've recently talked about Skyfall, Moonfall, well now here's Starfall. So Starfall is a dedicated re-entry vehicle. Just think it's Starlink, but for atoms, right? It's designed to bring stuff back from orbit, you know, cheaply, frequently, and thanks to this freshly released environmental assessment from the FAA, we now have actually some solid technical details on this project, what it actually looks like and how it's supposed to work. And it's basically like a flying hockey puck, right? Starfall is not a capsule in the traditional dragon sense. It's more like flat, pill-shaped. It's like a frisbee. According to the environmental assessment, it's about 0.7 meters tall, right? That's 2.5 feet, and has a diameter of 3.1 meters, which gives it a very low height diameter ratio, which is perfect for stacking, for example, in a side of fairing or, say, in a PEZ dispenser on a Starship. Fully loaded with payload, it masses about 3.1 tons, with about 1 ton of that being actual cargo. The rest is structure, heat shield, parachutes, attitude control system, avionics. So it consists of two main halves with that separate after re-entry. There's a top aluminium plate structure with thermal protection and a large carbon fiber phenolic heat shield on the bottom. Inside the heat shield, you'll find the vehicle structure, right? You've got the reaction control thrusters, which are fed from composite overwrap pressure vessels, 151 liters apparently filled with compressed nitrogen. So this is a pure cold gas attitude control system. There's no hypergolics, no like monoprops or anything. Nothing complicated that could leak or cause problems for the environment, right? So these cold gas nitrogen thrusters are used for small attitude control maneuvers. They allow the vehicle to point its heat shield correctly during entry at a trim angle. The angle of attack is between like 10 to 18 degrees apparently. And this is a relatively modest angle of attack, which will give it some decent lift, especially when you consider its mass to cross-section area. It's, you know, not going to have spectacular flying capabilities, but it should have meaningful cross-range capabilities, maybe like 300, 500 kilometers of cross-range, maybe a bit more downrange. But the whole point is that with these maneuvers, it should be able to control and fine-tune its landing spot to hit a specific recovery box, which will be in the Pacific, right? It won't let it fly back to a runway like a space plane. It's going to land on parachutes, right? So yeah, after the plasma phase, the heat shield is jettisoned, a pilot parachute will deploy, and then it's a single drogue chute, which will then pull out the main parachute, and then it'll splash down under that canopy. Now, SpaceX plans to recover as much of this as possible, right? The two capsule halves, the parachutes, using a recovery vessel up to 200 feet long, according to the environmental assessment. They're going to have a couple of, like, rigid hull boats, and, you know, everything will sink if it doesn't get recovered, which is, again, something the environmental assessment people want. And yeah, they stress that everything is as inert and non-hazardous as you can make stuff that's designed to fly in space. Okay, so here's a bit that got kind of interesting. I was looking at the environmental report and they showed the recovery area off the coast of California, but like 500 miles, well outside the exclusive economic zone, but not out in the middle of the Pacific. And I initially thought, oh, this is really obvious. They're going to take off from Vandenberg, go around one time and then land, right? It even looks like it's coming in from a northerly trajectory. And then I realized, actually, no, the Earth at that latitude rotates about 1,400 miles for every 90-minute orbit. So this was too close to California for it to work, but also the spacecraft, it doesn't have any deorbit capability on its own, right? It has this, you know, the reaction control thrusters are entirely for attitude control. It relies on the upper stage or, say, a cruise stage attached to it to perform the deorbit burn for it. So that would imply that they were taking off from Florida, maybe, and then spending a few orbits in space before then coming down a few orbits later, possibly assisted by the upper stage. And I was all like, that's how they would do it. And then they actually released an FCC experimental license today that explicitly said all of this. So all my hard work, I just needed to wait like half an hour and pay attention to FCC licensing. So yeah, these will launch as a secondary payload on a Falcon 9 out of Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. The re-entry vehicles will also include Starlink antennas to get real-life telemetry from them. And once, basically, the thing will deploy like a primary payload. So I'm presuming this is like a bandwagon mission that's going to deploy a bunch of other payloads. And once they're done, this upper stage will get ready for its deorbit. It'll perform the deorbit maneuver such that the Starfall spacecraft is going to come down in roughly the right place. Then the Starfall, it will be headed towards the atmosphere. It will perform its autonomous re-entry. It will steer towards its targeted landing zone, beaming out telemetry, and they will see just how well this thing steers. Hope that it doesn't like flip out of control like a coin that's just been tossed by God. No, this will hopefully land in the right place. And I'm not clear if this will be one or two. I'm presuming that we'll do one of these per launch. So there's potentially two launches here, although, you know, given the way licensing and everything works, given the way experiments work, they could have just decided to put two down, given that they might need two, but they might do it with just one. Who knows? Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. So we're talking about Falcon 9s initially for this test. We are talking about Falcon 9s launching out of Florida and a few hours later deorbiting in the Pacific. It is worth noting that compared to other capsules, because this is a sort of large disc-shaped structure, it's going to have a very different ballistic coefficient, right? It's going to get slowed down more by the atmosphere because there's a lot less mass behind each unit area. That might also actually help give it better cross-range capability. It could actually potentially glide better, but I'm honestly not doing the math on this. It's a little complicated. Regardless, if this was to become a proper product, we do have to think about how it actually deorbits. Starfall is, of course, very interesting to multiple things. First of all, it could be something like the equivalent of Varda's on-orbit factories, which make stuff and then return them to Earth, right? It could also be what the Department of Defense is interested in, the rocket cargo program. And that, you know, the idea is it launches and land somewhere else. And we've already talked about this in the past, and many people were skeptical about how this would work. There's another company that's talking about having spacecraft stationed on orbit. But if you launch directly on a suborbital trajectory and you land somewhere else in the world, this is one way to do it. And it does make a lot more sense than, say, having a starship you try to land somewhere in the world, which it probably isn't equipped to have a starship land, especially given that it doesn't have landing gear now, right? It would actually make sense for Starship to be launched with a bunch of these, pop them out in a suborbital trajectory that will get them where they're supposed to go, and then Starship continues to boost into an orbital trajectory and, you know, goes around until it's able to actually land. So there's many different options about how this works, but it is interesting that Starfall kind of fits into both of these models. So I would think that if this is going to be used for something like on-orbit manufacturing, then there has to be a cruise stage associated with it, something that will deploy the solar panels to power the stuff, it'll maintain attitude, and then when the mission is over, it will have the deorbit capability that will put the spacecraft on its trajectory to bring it back over the target landing site. Now, while they are doing this test for over the Pacific Ocean, it is entirely possible that they choose some other place for the actual operational capabilities if they choose to develop them. And, you know, another thing that is not mentioned here, by the way, is that SpaceX could be sizing this in such a way that it might fly on another launch vehicle. The military has lots of rockets that are ready to go at very short notice. They usually have nuclear warheads on top of them. But if this could be modified, you know, they might be able to have rapid response cargo delivery via this system. You don't need to spend forever getting your propellant loaded onto a solid rocket system, right? It can launch within minutes. That's how they are designed out of necessity. Of course, again, if you do that, you have to make sure that the other nuclear powers are aware that you are, in fact, launching something which isn't a nuclear weapon and isn't actually going to be coming in their direction, because you don't want them to be launching a response which isn't actually cargo. And so, like, the speculation that Starfall is involved in the Department of Defense's, like, point-to-point rocket cargo, or that it is involved in in-space manufacturing and returning stuff to Earth, that is not speculation. That is actually laid out in the environmental assessment. So we know that Starfall is aiming for one or both of these markets. So, like, SpaceX could be positioning Starfall as, like, a proliferated successor to experiments on space stations, right? So, you know, you can do all the stuff that you do in space, like Varda's doing, really, right? Pharmaceutical, semiconductors, advanced materials, stuff that benefits from microgravity or vacuum, and it needs to come back relatively quickly. And you can choose your payload, you can reserve a spacecraft, you could fly it, you can bring it back, and you don't have to worry about dealing with astronauts in the International Space Station or whatever. The dedicated small capsules let customers run parallel experiments with different timelines. You can isolate the issues, get the product home independently. So I fully expect that if SpaceX start offering Starfall to potential customers, that they will hope to undercut like Varda and other companies that are working on re-entry vehicles or on-orbit factories, right? Again, Starfall, it's like Starlink for stuff, right? So the idea of Starfall being like a space lab for experiments is not a new concept, right? SpaceX were actually pursuing something in the past called Dragon Lab, which was essentially fly your experiment on a Dragon spacecraft and bring it back to Earth. Now they've simplified this down, cut it back to the absolute bare minimum, and, you know, it's got rid of a whole lot of the structure. And this might actually make sense for more customers. Customers that wouldn't necessarily want to book large chunks of a Dragon. I think that was always the problem with Dragon Lab, is you would have to have multiple experiments running side by side to actually make it work, because nobody would have a need for the entire Dragon capsule. So yeah, you know, this is quite classic SpaceX thinking. They're solving the hard part of the problem, right? They're getting cheap, reliable return from orbit. That's in theory, right? And it looks really, really simple on paper, like it is literally a flying hockey puck with a heat shielding and some like nitrogen bottles. Ultimately, this is like very small scale SpaceX. Like, it's not a big part of their Starship program. It's not part of Moonbase. It's something which looks like SpaceX doing some work for the Department of Defense and potentially developing something that could actually take some market from other companies that have developed their own solutions. Companies like Varda, right, who are who have been doing this for a while, and they probably would not be happy if SpaceX came in and basically undercut them in every single way by owning the entire stack from launch vehicle down to the landing vehicle. They're going to test this. Well, they might test this. They haven't been given a launch license, but it would seem reasonable for them to test this. And depending upon what happens, maybe it does become the backbone of their in-space economy. Maybe it does become the way by which SpaceX starts delivering rocket cargo, or at least demonstrates it has the capability to deliver rocket cargo at rapid notice. We'll be watching to see Starfall fly, and moreover, we'll be watching to see Starfall land. I'm Scott Manley. Fly safe.